Today on After God's Heart.
And we learn if we keep going to the wrong places, we're going to keep finding the wrong answers to the questions that we face in life. The Bible teaches us that the greatest need in our world today is not more money, it's not more technology, it's not more science, it's not more food, it's not more government, it's not more security. The greatest need in our world today is spiritual awakening.
Welcome to After God's Heart with Dr. Darren Biles, author, professor, and pastor of Sunnyvale First Baptist Church. What is the greatest need in the world today? Is it money, influence, time, relationships? The Bible teaches us that the greatest need in our lives is a closer relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In this edition of After God's Heart, Dr. Biles continues his series through the book of Nehemiah. It's a series that is entitled Rise Up. In this message, Dr. Biles looks at Nehemiah 8 with a challenge for believers to rise up and worship. Dr. Biles?
The passage we're going to look at today is one of the most convicting and powerful chapters in all of Scripture. This is a picture of a spiritual awakening. It's an awakening that was so powerful it changed a nation. What would spiritual awakening look like today? What habits in our land, our families, our churches need to change? As I read this chapter, I find myself crying out to God for Him to do it again. But we also see what it's going to take to see God move. So join me with your Bibles open to Nehemiah chapter 8 and let's see what God did.
Every year, the United States spends $1.3 trillion on construction. There are 8 million construction workers who sometime throughout the year are working on 3.8 million construction projects, approximately half of those in the DFW area. And you think about all the construction that is going on that really marks much of our life and really all of our travel, and it fits very well with the series that we're doing through the book of Nehemiah. Through the book of Nehemiah, we've been talking about rising up. How we rise up not only to the challenges of life that is before us, but to the goal that God has for us as believers in Christ. We've talked about a number of the tools that we are packing for the journey, the spiritual journey that is ahead. So far, we've walked through the story of Nehemiah and the children of Israel as Nehemiah led them now to finish the rebuilding of the wall. But the work's not done. There's still more that needs to be built up in their lives, in their ministry. And so now, as we get to Nehemiah chapter 8, there is a transition that takes place from physical to spiritual. The transition is now having completed the building of the walls, the physical project that had left them insecure for nearly a century. Now that work is completed, but an even more important work is beginning. Spiritual awakenings that took place in all of Scripture and possibly all of history. The implications of this spiritual awakening in Nehemiah chapter 8 resonate even until today. One of the habits that had been so long-standing in the Jewish community was idolatry. It had marked many of the judgments of the Lord, both of the deportations, largely because of their sin of idolatry. So this moment of spiritual awakening is an important moment not only in the lives of the children of Israel, but for our faith. And so this morning, as we talk about rising up, I want to challenge us this morning to rise up in worship. Because even as the children of Israel needed to refocus, to change their attention from physical to spiritual, there are times in our lives when we need a new focus. There are times in our lives when we need to stop looking for the wrong things in the wrong places and start turning our attention to the Lord. As important as the walls were for the city, there was something even more important that the children of Israel needed. And see, the problem was for them, as it is so often for us, They had gone back to the same habits over and over again and still found themselves inadequate for the challenges spiritually ahead. Like the woman at the well in John chapter 4, when Jesus came to meet her, she was coming to find physical sustenance, but she was going to keep coming and that pattern was going to recur. And Jesus said to her, I can give you living water, which if you drink of it, you will never thirst again. And we learn if we keep going to the wrong places, we're going to keep finding the wrong answers to the questions that we face in life. The Bible teaches us that the greatest need in our world today is not more money. It's not more technology. It's not more science. It's not more food. It's not more government. It's not more security. The greatest need in our world today is spiritual awakening. We need a movement of God in our lives. We need a movement of God in our families. We need a movement of God in our churches, a stirring of our hearts that points us to Christ. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem, and he said to them, they did not know the day of their visitation. Essentially, Jesus was saying to about them, they didn't know what time it is. And I wonder if in our lives today, and in fact, I fear that we may live in a culture and possibly even in a church that doesn't really appreciate what time it is. Charles Finney said, Christians are more to be blamed for being unrevived than sinners are to be blamed for being unconverted. We need spiritual awakening. And in this moment in Nehemiah chapter 8, we see what is a remarkable moment, an unprecedented moment of spiritual awakening that transcends everything else that they were doing, every other plan, every other thought, every other activity. And these 2 days that we're going to see in Nehemiah chapter 18 changed a nation. And I wonder if God might do it again. So I challenge us this morning from Nehemiah chapter 8 to rise up in worship. Look with me in Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. When the 7th month came and all the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people gathered together at the square in front of the water gate, and they asked the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses that the Lord had given Israel. And on the first day of the 7th month, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could listen with understanding. And while he was facing the square in front of the water gate, he read out of it from daybreak until noon before the men and the women and all who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. The scribe Ezra stood on a high wooden platform made for this purpose, and Mattathiah, Shema, Ananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Messiah stood beside him on his right. And on his left were Padiah, Mishael, Milkijah, Hashem, Hashbadana, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book in front of all the people, since he was elevated above them, and he opened it, and all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, with hands lifted up. All the people said, Amen, Amen. And they knelt low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Yamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Messiah, Kalita, Azariah, Josabad, Hanan, Peliah, and the Levites explained the law to the people as they stood in their places. They read out of the book of the law of God, translating and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was read. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to all of them, "This day is holy to the Lord. He is your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people were weeping as they heard the words of the law. And then he said to them, "Go and eat the rich, drink what is sweet, and send portions to those who have nothing, since today is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength." And the Levites quieted all the people, saying, "Be still, since today is holy. Don't grieve." And all the people began to eat and drink and send portions and have a great celebration, because they understood the words that were explained to them. And on the second day, The family heads of all the people, along with the priests and Levites, assembled before the scribe Ezra to study the words of the law. They found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the Israelites should dwell in shelters during the festival of the seventh month. So they proclaimed and spread the news throughout the towns in Jerusalem, saying, "Go out to the hill country and bring back branches of olives, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make shelters as it is written." The people went out, brought back branches, and made shelters for themselves on each of their rooftops and courtyards and in the court of the house of God, the square by the water gate and the square by the Ephraim gate. The whole community that had returned from exile made shelters and lived in them. And the Levites, who had not celebrated this since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until this day, there was tremendous joy. And Ezra read out of the book of the law of God every day, from the first day to the last. The Israelites celebrated the festival for 7 days. And on the eighth day, there was an assembly according to the ordinances. Spiritual awakening involves the proclamation of the word of God to the people of God and the obedient response of the people of God to the instructions of the word of God. This is one of a select few spiritual awakenings in the Old Testament. We watch as a few of those pivotal moments in the Old Testament history began to filtrate throughout the land, and most of the time they lasted for a short season, and then life went back where it was. On this one, something spectacular takes place. It doesn't last indefinitely, but there's something significant that took place here in Nehemiah chapter 8, and I pray God might do it again. Throughout our history, we've seen a few seasons of spiritual awakenings, the first and second great awakenings, the revival of 1858, the revival of 1902. But as you look at history, the stark reality is our nation has not seen revival in over 100 years. And maybe as we begin to study the Word of God again, reminded about the need for spiritual awakening, we become convicted as the people were in Nehemiah's day. As you study the Scriptures, what you don't find are guidelines for what spiritual awakening always looks like. Because the reality is, spiritual awakening is not a mathematical formula, but it is a moment. It's not about programs or plans. It's about a movement of the Spirit of God among the people of God. And as we've studied so far through the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah, the man of prayer, has now prayed from Thanksgiving to Easter for what God was about to do. And all of a sudden, now all of those efforts, all of the work, all of the community, all of the prayers are coming together in a moment as the priest and the scribe stood up before the people. The word of God was read at the instructions of the people, and the people began to hear. We find in the text, this is the seventh month, which on the Jewish calendar is the most holy month of the year. It's probably the first day of the month, which would normally be a day of festival, of celebration, of blowing of trumpets. But in this moment, they've gathered together for a particular purpose. They've gathered together to hear the word of God. And as they had previously come to dedicate the wall, now their priorities change and they begin to dedicate themselves. They begin to turn back to the Lord. They begin to confess, to repent, to worship. And I want to see a little bit of what spiritual awakening might look like. Spiritual awakening might begin when you and I give God our time. Notice in the first part of Nehemiah chapter 8, the Bible says, when the seventh month came, all the Israelites were in their towns, and the people gathered together at the square in front of the water gate, and they asked Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses. Now, as we walk through Nehemiah chapter 8, you're going to see the phrase, all the people, 9 times. All the people, they came for this moment to commit themselves to the Lord. Nothing was more important in this moment than worship. And all the people came. To be sure, spiritual awakening is more than coming, but coming is a first step. When we come to the place where we're in the presence of God's people, where the Word of God is opened up and read, and maybe we remind ourselves that too often we give God too little of our time. Maybe God might be speaking to you to give God more of your time. Because spiritual awakening might begin when we give God our time. But notice further, the text suggests that spiritual awakening might begin when we give God our attention. As we focus our attention on Him and who He is. There was a series of artworks that came out in the year 2019, all under the heading, Removed. And in this artwork, there were a series of pictures that the artist had taken of people on everyday business, and they were holding a cell phone, but in the picture, he had removed the cell phone. And so all you saw in the picture are people looking at their hands where their cell phones used to be, and the title, Removed. So in one scene, there's a husband and wife, and they're seated facing away from each other, looking at their empty hands. At another, there's a scene of a family around the dinner table, and they're all sitting around the table, not looking at each other, looking at their hands where their cell phone used to be. It'd been removed. But I thought as I read that story, I wonder what would happen if the Word of God were removed from our lives. Does it make any difference in how we live? Does it make any difference in how we look if the Word of God were edited away? The people told Ezra to bring the book. I like how that starts. I like that it was the people's initiative as they go to Ezra and they say, we want to hear a word from the Lord. So they went to Ezra, and Ezra now from 6 a.m. till noon is reading the book of the law. He's reading God's word. He's reading the law. He's reading the requirements. And they, out of a desire to hear God speak, now came for the purpose. They built a platform, maybe the world's first podium or stage. They built a platform for this purpose, for Ezra to stand with 13 Levites, 6 on his right, 7 on his left. They're there perhaps holding the scroll and helping him turn the page physically. 13 more Levites were among the people, and they were there giving instructions as Ezra read the law. He's not preaching, he's reading the scriptures, the pulpit serving as a place where the Word of God was preached and taught. Let me just say, the pulpit must always be the place where the Word of God is preached and taught. We, as the people of God, come to corporate worship for the purpose of hearing a word from the Lord. They did not come to hear Ezra speak. They came to hear God speak. They came to hear a word from God's word. So while worship involves the proclamation of the Word of God, it also involves the hearing and the response to the Word of God. Notice in verse 5, Ezra stood up. He blessed the Lord, the great God. Their hands are lifted up, and all the people said, Amen. He stood up and he opened up the book. And I just want to say to you, what might happen? How many of our problems might be solved? How many of our difficulties might be overcome in our lives or in our country if we just opened up the book? Spent more time reading God's word, giving God our attention, our focus, our heart, the unanimous recognition of their need for God's word. And I want to suggest to you, at least we need it that much, if not more. The Word of God authenticates you. The Word of God is the part that sees through the needs of your life, recognizing it is what you need. It's more important than your preferences. It's more important than your opinion. It's more important than our culture. It's more important than any other social agenda. The most important thing you need, I need, our church needs, this world needs, is a word from God. Spiritual awakening might begin when we give God our attention. Ezra read it, and the faithful preaching and the teaching of God's word began to awaken the people from their spiritual lethargy. and spiritual awakening began. And it might begin again when we give God our attention. May I suggest to you, thirdly, from the text, not only spiritual awakening might begin when we give God our time and when we give God our attention, spiritual awakening might begin when we give God our hearts. Look at verse 6. Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Their hands are uplifted, and all the people said, Amen and Amen. They knelt low and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. They came with a heart for worship. And once God had their attention, God began to change their hearts. The evidence of genuine conviction begins to take place as the people hear Ezra ascribing greatness to God, reading the impact of his word, and the people respond, Amen, which means yes, so be it, let it be so. Their hands are lifted, their faces are bowed, the expression of a changed heart, because when you come to an intimate contact with the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot leave the same. And in that moment, when I give God my heart, God begins to do something. Spiritual awakening begins in me that hopefully then spills out to others around me. And what would happen if we as God's people gave God not just our time and our attention, but we gave God our heart, where we are affected by the word? Three times the Levites had to warn the people, don't grieve. They heard the word, and it so convicted them, it so distressed them, realizing where they had fallen short. They began appropriately to grieve over their sin. And Ezra and the people said, this is not the day for grief. This is the day for celebration. This is the day to give God all of our heart. Spiritual awakening might begin when I give God my heart. But let me share with you one more thing. Spiritual awakening might begin when you and I give God our time, when we give God our attention, and when we give God our hearts. Note, finally, spiritual awakening might begin when we give God our habits. There's a transition that takes place there in verse 13 that begins in my translation on the second day. Some translations say on the next day. There is a literal next day. So the spiritual awakening that took place in the first part of Nehemiah chapter 8 is on one day, probably the first day of the seventh month. On the next day, you begin to see the impact of what happened on yesterday. Because if there is a genuine work of God in your life today, it will change how you live tomorrow. If you wake up tomorrow no different than you were today, then what happens today really didn't make a difference. See, the supreme test of our sincerity is the next day. Like a Thursday night at a youth camp when everybody's there and you're all thinking spiritual thoughts and you have a spiritual high and there seems to be a commitment, but then the next day everything goes back where it was and you wonder what happened yesterday that it didn't change today. What happened was our habits didn't change. Because so often for spiritual awakening to happen, there's going to need to be a change in what happens, in what I do, in my habits, and how I spend my life, and how I make my decisions. And when you and I have a real encounter with God, everything about us must change. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. And then two verses later, the psalmist says, your word I've hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what we do with God's word. It's not just something that we read out of intellectual curiosity. We apply it to our lives and it changes what we do. The word of God is not just a guide to our Christian life. It is a barometer of our Christian walk.
When our spiritual hunger exceeds our physical hunger, when we want the things of God more than we want the things of the world, when the Word of God dissects our hearts and changes our minds, spiritual awakening can begin. We've entitled this program, After God's Heart. The name of the program comes from the title of my newest book, After God's Heart. It's a story of the life of David, the challenges, the lessons that we learn from David, and how we can apply those to our lives. We'd love to send you a copy of my book when you support this ministry with your generous gift. Now here's Ed to give you more details on how you can get a copy of my book.
Thanks, Dr. Biles. You can get a copy of After God's Heart today by contacting Sunnyvale First Baptist Church at 972-226-7105 or sunnyvalefbc.com. You can also write us at 3018 North Beltline Road, Sunnyvale, Texas, 75182. Attention, After God's Heart. And here's a final word from Pastor Darren.
Thanks, Ed. If you're ever in the North Texas area, I want to invite you to be our guest at Sunnyvale First Baptist Church. We have Sunday school classes for all ages. Our worship service on Sunday mornings begins at 10:30. We would love for you and your family to be our guest anytime you are able at Sunnyvale First Baptist Church.
Once again, on behalf of Dr. Biles, we want to thank you for listening. I'm your host, Ed Petty, and we'll see you next time on After God's Heart.